Our lesson today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 47, and Acts 4, verses 32 through 35. Hear God's word. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles, and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's needs were met. And they followed a daily discipline of worship at the temple, followed by meals at home, every meal a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. And people in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. And then, from Acts 4, while they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. The whole congregation of believers was united as one, one heart, one mind. They didn't even claim ownership of their own possessions. No one said, "Hey, that's mine. You can't have it." They shared everything. And the apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master Jesus, and grace was on all of them. And so it turned out that not a person among them was needy. Those who owned fields or houses sold them, and they brought the price of the sale to the apostles, and they made an offering of it. And the apostles then distributed it according to each person's need. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Do you have mixed feelings about this passage when you hear it? It can be one of those passages that gives you both hope and maybe a little anxiety. It's a beautiful picture of all these people there, sharing, caring for each other, where there is no need because they're all, everything's shared. They're this community of people looking out for each other. How beautiful is that? And then there's the part of us that maybe gets a little anxious. I mean, sometimes it can be hard to share. We kind of like our stuff. We kind of like control over what we have and how we do it. And so we can read this and on the one hand say, well, I hope heaven's like that, but not yet. We are struggling as people. It's not the first time. People struggle throughout history. And we can seem so divided and so confused about how we're to be in this world. And there are two really big issues that challenge all of us. One of the things that we see a lot of right now is loneliness. Tons and tons of loneliness. You know, what is interesting is that it has been greatly increasing over the years. Back in 1985, maybe about 10% of Americans said that they had no close friends. By 2004, that increased to almost 25%. And my sense is that it's continuing to increase and is even more, even higher today. There are probably many reasons for it. We have busy, busy lives. We have social media and our phones and other ways to keep in touch. But that doesn't necessarily build relationships or create community. It doesn't necessarily help us to have close friends. And so that loneliness continues. And Robert Putnam, in his book Bowling Alone, he said that over the last 25 years, civic club memberships are down by 58%. You know those groups where people used to go and hang out? Families eating dinner together have dropped from 50% to 34%. Only about a third of families, maybe less now, probably less now, even have time to eat a meal together. And yet they find that that process, just that simple act of having a meal together, can be so powerful and so meaningful. He also said that inviting friends over to your house has dropped by 45%, if not more. Again, we are increasingly isolated. And what happens when we become isolated is we become even more fearful. We become even more disconnected and anxious and worried and clinging to our own things and our own life and our own way of being. That's pretty troublesome, isn't it? Well, on top of that, I mean, it gets even more complicated than that, because we have this growing sense of distrust. Skylar Rhodes said, one of the difficult things in our lives is that in the United States, we concern this absurdly huge proportion of the world's resources. We're wealthy beyond imagination, even if we don't feel that way, while the majority of the world's population lives on, get this, less than $1 a day. $1 a day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what that even looks like? We suffer the health effects of obesity while much of the world suffers from malnutrition. Our nation is responsible for the vast majority of toxic gases that are accelerating all kinds of issues and problems. And our corporations chase endlessly around the globe looking for the next nation that will let its workers be paid pennies an hour to make our shirts, our sneakers, our jeans, our phones. Kind of sobering, isn't it? Hard to hear? It is. And a lot of those things are contributing to the anxiety that we are feeling right now, to the fear and discomfort and all that we're going through. I see some of this firsthand. I have a loved one in her 90s who insists on living by herself, looking after two houses, and so she goes between these two houses caring for all the stuff. She's got her dishes, tons and tons and tons of dishes and silver and antiques, all these things. And how precious are they really in real life? And yet she is incredibly, painfully alone and lonely and trusts no one. No one. When I think of her, I think of a situation that brought me to where I am here with you. It was after my life was torn apart. And I've shared this with you before, how I went through a painful divorce, living in hiding in a domestic abuse situation, no money, no car, two kids, wondering how in the world I was just going to keep my kids fed. Who was it who brought me through that? It was a church family. I had no place to go. And I showed up at church with my kids. I was terrified. And part of my terror in that moment was, will they reject me? I'm divorced. Will I be welcome here? And they said yes. And not only did they say yes, but they started finding ways to help me find my way. I was in one bad situation where I'd done a terrible thing. I had done bad math with my bank account, what little there was in it, and I'd overpaid, and I was short money, and I was wondering what I was going to do. I was terrified. And I get this call out of the blue to come down to the church. There was a note there for me. So I go in and I open this, and I still have it to this day. And it's this beautiful letter. And a church family, I have no idea who the people were because it wasn't signed. It's just this beautiful letter that said, "We care about you. And we know that you're probably going through a time of need, and we want to help." And there was $500 cash in that envelope. They said, "This is the first of three gifts that we want to give you to help you get through this hard time. This won't last forever." And they continued in countless ways to help me and my children get on our feet. Even to helping with the car. I shared with you that the pastor who helped me is actually going to be here with his wife next week. So many people who not only said, "I believe in Jesus," people who not only went to church, but people who believed that their belief meant taking action. People who saw that we are a community. And sometimes I'm the one that's broken and lost and hurting and needs your help. And sometimes you're the one who needs my help. But when they wrote these stories about that community of people caring for each other, it wasn't meant to be just some pie-in-the-sky thing out there. It was meant to be how we live our lives. And to this day, do you know when I'm happiest? When I find my greatest joy? When I'm feeling depressed and beat up and beat down? The thing that gives me greatest joy is if I can reach out to someone else and help them in some way. In some way. There is no greater wealth. There is no greater joy. And what's breaking my heart right now as I see the fear and as I see the conflict in our world, as I see the suffering and the selfishness on the part of our leaders, it's like it does not have to be this way, my friends. It does not have to be this way. And that's why this is so important. It may not seem like a big deal, us getting together on a Sunday morning. But it's a big deal. Because as we come together, we see each other face to face. If we can see each other as family, then we can know how much God loves us. We can start building that trust. We can start building those relationships, those connections. When we start sharing and caring for each other, that's when we're really living out what Jesus taught. The vision that he had. The reason that he gave his life. Not some pie in the sky crazy thing, but something that we together can make a reality. Now, this congregation, there's a lot of us who are struggling in a lot of different ways. We're not wealthy. We're not, you know, the ones with big reputations. We're just regular human beings who come together. But we keep looking for ways, don't we? It's like with the families, the homeless families that we help out. And the different things that we try to do day to day to look out for anyone who has a need. My friends, this is what we're called to do. And we gather in part on a Sunday morning, not because, you know, there's a rule that says, "Hey, you better be there on Sunday." But as a way to get fed a way to connect and as a way to build that community, the one that they envisioned. Those people in that group, they weren't wealthy. Many of them were very poor. But they worked together, trying to live out Jesus' love. My friends, we've got a lot of distractions right now. We have a lot of things that can depress us, worry us. And when we get worried, well, then we start, you know, closing up and pushing people away. We start restricting everything. We start hoarding things. And that's not what it's about. It's about trust. Trust of God, trust of each other, and love. My prayer is, as we think about this, that we not think about these passages with anxiety or fear, but that we think of them with hope, as a model, as a target, as a goal for our own lives, as we touch each other and we love each other. Let us pray. Almighty God, it can be scary out there. We're taught to fear so many things. Yet you remind us that there is something more. You remind us of something so glorious and so beautiful and so joy-filled. We pray, Lord, that you would bring us into that community, caring for each other and loving each other as you've loved us. In your name we pray. Amen.